echte ervaring.
You are listening to That Digital Show, a business podcast presented by Google Cloud to help organizations innovate and grow value in a digital world. Episode 49, Embedded Finance. In this episode, we'll discuss how embedded finance is a way to bring financial services to customers that are invisible, meaningful, and accessible, and how it is becoming a seamless and expected digital integration across every industry. Hello, everyone. I'm Chris Hood, a digital strategist at Google Cloud. We are growing and it's exciting, and we have an incredible schedule of shows lined up with industry experts, thought leaders, and customers who will be sharing their struggles and triumphs with their journey in the cloud. And today's episode is no exception. Joining me today is Paul Rohan and Asir Blanco. Welcome to you both. Would you mind sharing a little bit about yourselves? Rohan?
Hi, everyone. A bit about myself. I've spent more years in financial services than I care to admit. Nearly 30 years in banking and digital banking primarily, lots of transaction banking, digital banking, international banking. And about 5 or 6 years ago, I unfortunately became obsessed with APIs because they looked like solving a whole lot of problems around monolithic systems that I was using to sell and monolithic systems that my customers were using to buy. So in that context, very interested and involved with the whole movement towards what we first called open banking, then became open finance. And now increasingly, as people in the industry get focused on where to embed their APIs, it's becoming embedded finance. So I'm based out of Dublin, Ireland, spending huge amounts of time with Google clients, working on their go-to-market plans into the world of embedded finance.
A little bit about myself. Born and raised in Spain, engineer by training, but moved into finance a long time ago. Paul, I'm getting like you. It's hard to actually acknowledge how long I've been working in the finance world. Always in the intersection of technology and financial services. I feel that this is one of the industries that has the more to gain from the power of technology. So anyway, very excited to be here with you both today.
Okay, embedded finance. If we were to really just break this down into some terminology or definition of what embedded finance actually is, what's an easy definition?
I think you can go at this two ways, I think, Chris. You can get out the very formal definitions that people try to use to describe business phenomena. So I've seen very formalized definitions that it's the seamless integration and provision of contextualized financial services within the offering of any service to customers. And that pretty much describes it. But it probably doesn't describe the significance of what it might mean for financial services or its significance in services more broadly. So sometimes when I'm working with colleagues or clients and I'm trying to talk about the significance of it, I do try and look at what it might fundamentally mean. And I'm so old, I remember the four Ps in the marketing mix of product, place, price, and promotion. And I think later on, some consultants turned that into seven Ps to make more money. But definitely at the start, there was only four: product, place, price, and promotion. And I think the significance of embedded finance and embedded services more broadly in the digital era is that the P for place is changing. It's changing from the digital surface that you as a service provider might ideally like to offer, which is you have all your services in one place and customers come to you, to your digital surface to use your services. But increasingly in this connected world, the P for place is changing to the digital surface that the customer prefers. So that if you're part of a connected experience that the customer wants to have that involves other service providers, you have to be able to reach that new P for place, which can be a third party's, a business partner's digital surface. So I think you can do the very formalized descriptions that in the business school's exams, people will have to write this down to get their marks. I think the significance of embedded finance is that it reflects a trend more broadly in services that finance is not exempt from, which is customers want to begin digital journeys where it's convenient for them and they want their favorite brands to connect. And financial services is one of those services that needs to connect. And so the P for place has changed to the digital surface that the customer prefers.
I agree 100% with everything Paul just said, but I will be very strong in saying this is the natural evolution of distribution for financial services, right? If you go back in time, financial service used to be all about, and I'm really going back in time hundreds of years, right? Financial service was about, you have a wealthy individual in a town and you go there and ask for money. He say yes or say no, and that was it, right? Eventually branches appear. If you keep going down that path, then ATMs appear, then mobile and digital surfaces appear, right? And the next one now is you need to bring that everywhere. And this is part of the, sometimes we like to talk about how we think, we believe that embedded finance will be the prevalent, will be the dominant distribution method for financial services in the not so distant future, right? So my little bit to add on top of that.
Coming to mind, I tend to think about an evolution as well. And there was a time when I could go into a grocery store and cash a check, or maybe I got paid and I didn't have a bank account. And so I could use a convenience store as a means by which I could cash that check. That started to go away as we started to have more accessibility to different types of financial institutes. And as you mentioned, ATMs, different types of actual financial institutes specifically designed for cashing checks, mobile cashing of checks. But now what you're really talking about is the ability to basically take that same check and instead of taking a picture of it with my phone today, potentially being able to go any number of places to deposit that check seamlessly. Is that a good representation of what we're talking about?
Let me just take it again, one step further, right? I think the best way to, the example you're bringing is a great example of what it happens in the past, but it's still limited by the fact that it was surrounded by the financial institutions, and then they issue checks, and the checks are a key part of it. But we are living in a world today where cash is even going away, right? I was reading the other day, even in a cash-centric and check-centric country like the US, 35% of the adults under the age of 50 don't ever use cash, right? So the way I like to think about embedded finance is think about building the financial service product, whatever it is, right? In your case, it's money transfer, absolutely inside the process end-to-end that you're trying to work, right? So the example everybody can relate to is the example of like Uber. When the traditional end-to-end process of like going from place A to place B was you jump on a cab, you get to destination. Once you get there, now you need to start struggling with, do I get cash? Do I get a credit card? Do I swipe? Do I not swipe? It doesn't work, right? Now you go from A to B. As soon as you get to B, you're done. Never even think about the concept of like, I'm paying something, right? It got embedded into the process in a way that it becomes almost invisible, right? And that, I think, is the biggest step that financial institutions need to take. That recognizing that, and again, 20-something years in the industry right before Google, financial institutions, we are the connective tissue between users, consumers, and dreams, right? People want a house, we help them get the house, right? People want a vacation, we help them finance the vacation. So as a conduit between a dream and a desire, the more we can embed within that process end-to-end, the better we're going to be. And that is the goal we are aiming for here.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think Chris asked a great question in connecting the whole area of embedded finance to payments, for example. Which will be a key, sometimes we think finance about credit, but payments will very much be part of this as well. And I think once you change your mindset to the idea that the customer's journey starts on whatever digital surface is convenient for them, you know, imagine a video conference. I'm sure during the COVID pandemic, people were still providing or planning for retirement or doing financial planning and talking to their financial advisors. And the world we're moving towards in embedded finance is that after having a video call and a conversation and maybe looking at some graphs about where the market is going, the customer and the financial advisor decide that, yes, they're going to put $30,000 into some particular investment. And the advisor goes, yeah, I put a link there into the chat. Just click on the link and go on the customer journey to push the money from your checking account or whatever bonus your employer just gave you or whatever you just got from some sale. And put that into this account and we'll get it registered with the investment fund. So I think once you change your mindset around where financial services is going, there's practically no limit to where you can move your distribution strategy to if you're a financial services provider or who you might partner with. And it probably has huge implications for even the underlying payment infrastructure. So that type of customer journey where your advisor says, okay, let's do this now, let's put $20,000 or $30,000 into this investment, well, your credit card is not suitable. You want to get access to your bank account, or maybe you just want to go online for a second and move it out of deposit account into your checking account. In that context, this move towards embedded finance has major implications for what type of payment rails are flexible and suitable for this type of world. Sarah's absolutely right. This is much about mindset, which is the natural evolution of distribution is that the financial services part of any customer journey needs to be capable of being embedded into any extended customer experience that can start on any third-party digital surface.
We're going to get into how we can make this happen, but this is really fascinating because if we think about applications today, a lot of applications out there have the mechanism to pay for something. But what we're really talking about is financial services that go beyond just payments. You mentioned Uber. I can log into Uber, I can pay for that service prior to going from A to B. I could go to Starbucks and pay for something directly inside of the app before going and then picking it up. But when we start to talk about the collaboration and embedding of these services across different types of platforms, and your example, I think, was great, where we might be in a Google Meets and I could directly send you money or invest in a service from within that platform. I think that becomes fascinating in terms of what we're really talking about in expanding this concept of embedded finance across multiple industries and across various products that aren't really known for supplying financial services, correct?
Absolutely correct, yeah.
And Chris, if I can build on your example a little bit, right? This is one of the times where it's very important to move sometimes from our US-centric, European-centric view of the world, right? And look at the world as a whole, right? And US is still behind on open banking adoption, which means we are not seeing enough examples of what we mean by embedded finance in the US. But if you go to Asia, right, you find a lot of the use cases like the one you described, right? Like a messaging applications where within the messaging application, you are doing everything, meaning you're connecting to the restaurant, ordering from the menu, paying for the restaurant, dividing the check between five of your friends, all within the messaging application, right? That is the true end game of all these things. And the conduit could be a messaging application, could be a Google Meet, it could be whatever thing you can, like a web page of a retailer, your Walmart store, whatever thing it is, right? That integration, I think, is the end step of all this journey we're seeing right now.
If we go back to our definition, I think one of the ways I've learned about embedded finance and how we've talked about it actually previously on the show is that if I'm a business that is traditionally a non-financial business and I want to bring in financial services to my business, I could basically white label those, bring them in, and I become a financial institute that is delivering these services alongside of all of the other services and products that I offer. Is that a better way of looking at this now?
Let me try and handle that. It's a great question. I'm not sure. I think there'll be a change in customer expectation in that if I'm booking something through an airline's digital surface, for example, or even a travel platform, and I happen to be going somewhere that my normal travel insurance doesn't cover, I would expect, and I would be quite disappointed if the airline or the travel platform didn't offer me the opportunity to take out once-off travel insurance for that trip. That would be my expectation. It wouldn't make me regard the airline or the travel platform or as a financial services company, but maybe the next time I might use another travel platform or another airline because it was inconvenient to often have to arrange through some other surface a once-off piece of travel insurance. I think the dominant design of these major brands will be, should you wish to pick up some specific or complementary financial services on your journey with us to be competitive and to meet your expectation, we can embed some financial services from partners probably into your experience. So I do think it'll become the dominant design, But I do think people will still know the difference between a professional financial services provider and then a brand that wants you to feel good towards them because it's convenient.
Building on that, right? You think about, I don't know, 10 years ago, right? The talk of town was, oh my God, right? Every retailer, every big brand is going to start embedding finance into their ecosystem and they will become banks and they will disintermediate the industry. I think we have moved past that because the reality is you're a big retailer, right? Or a big, you don't want to become a bank, even if it's through embedded finance. You just want to do what you do. But at the same time, you're going to retain your clients and provide the clients every service that you have. So I think the theme now is more about truly embedded finance and creating an ecosystem of brands that are trusted, right? Where suddenly the user goes to that experience, goes to the travel experience that Paul was describing, and the user, he or she, will have the ability to go through the whole process without having to be jumping around for five different places. Which is, you know, the way that fundamentally things still work in many cases, and it's not what clients want.
I have so many thoughts in my head as I'm going through this. Okay, let's talk a little bit about how do we actually make this all happen. I'm going to hone in on something you just said, which is in the past, there was typically some jumps and hops, and we might have had to touch different applications and different authentications, and we would have jumped from one app to the next app to accomplish whatever it is we wanted to accomplish. But today, one of the benefits of technology and making these things seamless are APIs, application programming interfaces. So where does APIs come into play when we talk about embedded finance?
Rather than getting into starting off with technical descriptions of APIs, it's easier to understand if you think about personas, okay? And the reality of this world of embedded finance and embedded finance, embedded services more broadly is that if you're a service provider, you're now, your brand strategy is going to have to capture the software engineers that work for related businesses or platforms or your potential business partners. So we can let our imaginations run wild with all of these connected experiences that start on non-financial surfaces and then go in, that provide, can provide financial services as part of that journey. But to make those happen in terms of the how question, Chris, is software engineers want to be able to make those connections with their business partners very easily. And APIs are like the software equivalent of wall sockets. You know, wall sockets are in the wall of your house. You can plug any sort of device into them. It's the standard wall socket. And on the other side of the wall, you don't really care whether the energy is renewable or nuclear or fossil fuel. So the simple wall socket allows massively complex industries to collaborate through a simple abstraction. That's what a wall socket is. And that's what APIs are. They're companies put them on the edge of their enterprise and the edge of their systems, and they allow software engineers from other partner enterprises to plug in and either trigger processes or extract data. So that's why APIs are so important, in that when smartphones first came out, you know, 2006, 2007, the marketing strapline was, there's an app for that. You know, and this was the emergence of the app economy. Now, as services companies are looking at participating in innovation, both internally and then looking towards partners, the catchphrase would be, there's an API for that. It won't be a catchphrase that consumers use, but it'll be a catchphrase that service designers and business developers and software engineers use, which is, where's the API for that? And therefore, that's why this massive disruption that's coming, it challenges business strategy and technology strategy, but also brand strategy for a corporation that's providing services, because all of a sudden, your brand strategy has to capture software engineers, and you want them to feel just as warm towards your corporation because of the effort you put into your APIs as everything else. So brand strategy is fundamental. You have this new audience of your services, and the way they'll consume your services and evaluate your services is through the APIs that you offer, so that companies can collaborate to create these connected experiences. Lots of business developers who aren't software engineers, they don't know how to design websites, but they know what they do, And you don't have to be a software engineer to now understand the significance of APIs and what they can do. And I think they're increasingly going to become part of the fundamental toolkit for all business development activities.
You know, I've been talking about APIs and consulting with customers on APIs for 10 years, and I've never heard the outlet analogy. So I've got a new one, and I love this because it's this simple. If I have something that I need to plug into a wall outlet, when I plug it in, my expectation is it turns on. That's from a consumer's perspective. And we all have these expectations, no matter what it is. You mentioned airlines earlier. When we go into a convenience store shop, if I go to Starbucks to buy coffee, I have set expectations behind the scenes. I don't care what's going on. I just know that when I plug something into the wall, I expect it to turn on. And APIs, as you mentioned, help us with all of that chaos and intricacies behind the scenes that consumers don't necessarily care about. And I would guess the same goes for the conversation around embedded finance. I simply want to deposit my check. I don't care how it gets done. I simply want to share money with my friend or split my check for tonight. Don't care how it's done. And basically, APIs are the mechanism for businesses to be able to integrate and collaborate across all of these different industries and platforms and surfaces to accomplish that and supply consumers what they expect, these connected experiences. Sir, is that a good way of addressing consumer expectation?
I think that's it. And that is a great place to talk about something that is the reality check of where we are today. And you start to see a little bit of the beginning of what we are defining as the embedded finance economy or the ecosystem economy, right? That is, A, yes, you are going through the travel experience, or you're buying a new electronic device, and then your offer, do you want to insurance that electronic device? And then you fill a different application and you get it. What is happening today is that the way we're doing all those things is clunky, right? It's a, as you're going through the insurance piece for the new electronic, like the big TV you bought for your house over the Black Friday, you need to go to a different site and fill other information. And now you have the retailer that sold you the TV, and now you have the insurance place that is doing the insurance for you, and they are connected, but they are not. If you really, so like that is the first step, but if you really want, to your question, right, like deliver on the consumer expectation, you need to take that to the stream, right? The things need to connect truly. If the consumer is already buying a TV, you know everything about the consumer. Don't ask the consumer 17 other questions to get insurance. Most like, and by the way, there are repeat questions. You're asking again for the name and the last name and where it lives and all these different pieces, right? And all of you guys are smiling, and I think the audience cannot see us smile because we've been through that. Every single one of us has been through that, asking ourselves, why being asked this again, right? So that is where, again, API is the technology behind this, right? But that is the ultimate goal, right? The information needs to flow. And I love to have kind of my checklist around these things, but if the provision of the service is not happening in real time, right? If everything comes down to, oh, don't worry, 2 weeks from now, you will get a paper in your house that will confirm you got it, you already broke the experience, right? Things need to happen in real time. Data needs to flow in a very secure way, but needs to flow and connect through to the client. And financial institutions need to start being able to using that data to build much better experiences for clients, right? That is the ultimate goal. And that's where, by the way, that's the challenge today. And I do believe that over the next year, we're going to see a moment in time where the leading players that can get this right will separate themselves from the rest significantly.
Healthcare is going through a massive evolution as well. And one of the things that we talk about is if I go to my doctor and I have a prescription, I can then go to my pharmacy and that prescription is already there. Or if I go to a different doctor, my medical history travels with me. That's what we're hoping to get to. And one of the questions that I ask a lot of healthcare professionals is, where are you getting some of your influences in the evolution that we're seeing in healthcare? And one of the natural responses is in open banking. And yet one of the things that we don't have yet in open banking and embedded finance that we are directly talking about is, say, a bank account or a checking account that travels with me, where I could go from one service to another service and all of the basic information, my name, my account information, travels with me. And it doesn't matter who I engage with, I know all of the stuff about me and I don't have to re-enter it or rehash it out. Paul, are we seeing some of this travel with me concept through embedded finance?
Well, I think we definitely are. I think that the dominant design of the bank account is changing from a bank account that you can only use through the digital interface provided by your bank, only then cross-sells maybe the services offered by your bank. And the new dominant design is a bank account that you can get value from through multiple third-party interfaces, digital surfaces, and also leverages your credentials and your data to access hundreds of partner services. So just like 20 years ago, we moved from BlackBerry to smartphone. That was the new dominant design of the device in your pocket, touchscreen control, ecosystem of service providers, inbuilt, you know, text and email and browser. That became the dominant design. I think the dominant design of the bank account is changing towards one that comes with lots and lots of partnerships and allows you to leverage your credentials and your data multiple times with multiple partners. So competition in financial services increasingly will be based on how many partnerships and how many useful ways can you leverage your bank account in the ecosystem rather than it's just designed to deliver one bank services through one interface. So I think that's where the travel feeling will come from a new dominant design of the bank account.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. If I think about my son, he's 14 years old. He's never stepped foot into a traditional brick and mortar bank branch. Quite frankly, I don't even know if he understands what a bank branch is. But heck, he knows what Venmo is. He knows what online financial services are that he can engage with to transfer and get to money. But ultimately, he's looking for those added benefits, those extraordinary things that is going to allow him to do the things that he wants to do, which is mostly, I want to buy a new video game and I want to just log in and it's already there. So I can see that. And I think you're right. I think those types of additional features and functionality is going to be a differentiator for a lot of services. And it goes back to businesses get those differentiators by investing in APIs.
Yeah, I think we are with you, Chris, building on that one. I think we are with you. And it comes down to, remember at the beginning when we were talking about how fundamental of a change this is, right? And that is the reason. Because the basic understanding of what a product is in financial services needs to evolve, right? The example of your kid is perfect, right? The construct of a checking account may actually be not necessary for someone like your kid to actually engage and have a financial life and all these things for a long time. So that is the big challenge here for the industry, because they need to move away a little bit from a regimented, like a very strict like way of thinking about their like four products we have, a checking account, a savings account, mortgage, and a credit card. And, you know, again, I simplify the thing a lot, but now you need to be a lot more creative. And to your point, for a lot of people, they will say, listen, I don't need a bank account. Actually, I have a digital wallet with PayPal, with Venmo. And that digital wallet, by the way, is connected to like 27 different applications. And I use it every time I go online to pay. I don't even have a credit card. Everybody knows that very recently, one of the big retailers in the UK said, we're not taking Visa cards anymore. And that was unthinkable not that long ago. But when you start getting a true open banking ecosystem where things travel with you, right? Yes, the world is different. So creativity is going to be the name of the game over the next years.
If I'm a financial services institute right now, listening to this podcast, or maybe I'm another company and I'm thinking about APIs and my API strategy, my API program, and I'm thinking about how do I get some of these services into my systems. If we were to just summarize this entire conversation up Where could somebody start?
Definitely in terms of the APIs, it's definitely to focus on your developer program. And it's not just building APIs, but also to treat third-party developers like customers. Have the right staff to serve them, solve their problems, differentiate your APIs from other programs, collect their feedback, everything you do with your own customers. And as you're entering a new world, build a table stakes range of APIs. It's a foreign territory for many corporations. When you arrive somewhere new, you got to show people you're serious, that you're here to participate, you want to serve them. So on that basis, don't just think a use case or two. Just is, what's the range of API products I need to build to show my business partners that I'm serious about connecting at very high scale into these embedded finance and digital ecosystems? So two things, treat developers like customers and build a table stakes range of APIs.
Paul, let me add the other side of the equation that I think is incredibly important, right? That is, build a data ecosystem that will allow you to then transform everything that is going to be happening, right, into insights and better client experience. If you think about it, the financial services industry has been struggling for years to connect just the data around clients across multiple products. And this is within their garden. Now we are asking them to say, expand yourself, embed your systems into other places, right? So the criticality of being able to connect all that data around the consumer to deliver experiences that are much better is going to grow exponentially. And that will be the trick. If you can do that, you will thrive in the embedded finance economy. You will really find ways of serving clients in ways that we cannot even imagine today. If you transform all this into a sell a product through a different channel, but then I barely understand what is happening with the consumer, it's not going to work in the long run.
Well, thank you both. This has been an extraordinary conversation. I appreciate your time and effort and the conversation today.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for having us.
It's been fantastic, Chris. Thank you so much for having us.
And of course, thanks to all of you who are listening. If you have questions, comments, or ideas for the show, connect with us throughout social media. Find us online at thatdigitalshow.com and join us next week as we explore another innovative topic on That Digital Show. Thanks for listening.